So welcome everybody to another Wednesday night meditation brought to you by the Care Group. And tonight we've got a really quite apt topic, given that it's just past the New Year mark and people are busy making their New Year's resolutions. So Uncle Mahinda is going to talk to us about alcohol and provide some Dharma advice around alcohol, a destructive decision. But before we get into the talk, I'd like to just tell you a little bit about the BSWA Care Group. So for the last year, we've been holding these Wednesday night meditation sessions, and it's really wonderful. The community are really coming together and growing, and we have a good selection of lay teachers. So every Wednesday night we'll be hosting a meditation, a Dharma talk, and we all meet for tea and chats afterwards. Now there's a couple of things I'd like to let you know about, because I know people are really keen to get involved. And it seems that the Buddhist Society has so many things on at the moment. I was just having a little look here. And the Kalyana Mitta group, which is a friendship group, are going to be meeting Saturday, the 22nd of January, 5 to 6. And it's a really lovely opportunity to come together and discuss contemporary topics, talk with the monks and nuns. And then if you go onto the Buddhist Society website itself, there's a whole raft of things. Some of us are going on a retreat Friday night. There's also a half-day retreat up at Rollystone on the 15th, so plenty of things to do. And tonight, the reason I'm sitting in the chair here with my computer is that I'm going to be moderating the chat tonight, and I'd invite you to post any questions online and I will gather them up and we'll aim to answer them at the end of Uncle Mahinda's talk. So without further ado, I'd like to pass you across to Uncle Mahinda to do.
Yep.
Thank you. Lead us in a discussion and a meditation. Yeah. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Sandra. Thank you. Good evening. The topic today is alcoholism, a destructive and a harmful choice. Before I come to talk about that, I will just tell you experience, my own experience of an incident. I ordered a pizza from Domino's Pizza in Swan View. So when I went to collect it, the manager said it will take about another 20 to 25 minutes because there are some technical problems. I came back to the car and waited in the car. There was a vacant spot in front of my, where the car was parked. A Land Cruiser drove in, and a very well-dressed and executive-looking man got down. But he looked very tired and unhappy. He got down, walked past my car to the shops. After about 5-10 minutes, he came back with a parcel, but his expression on the face was quite different. He looked much happier than when he came there first. He went away. Little while later, a Toyota pickup drove in and parked in the same spot. A tradesperson got down. It was a warm day. He too looked very tired and very distressed, I must say. And again he went in the same direction. After about 5-10 minutes, he came back. His mood was different. I just connected the two people's expressions, the facial expressions. Then afterwards, another young couple walked in. Both of them got down independently. They were a bit grumpy, I must say, because their body language said, I'm doing nothing and I'm just watching these people. So they went down. This gave me an idea, where are they going, and they are coming back bit different. So this couple also went there, came back with couple of parcels, and they were talking, they were happy, and all that. So I was just observing them, and I found out they have gone to this happy store, the liquor store. They went there. On their return, their expressions were quite different. I was reflecting, with the purchase of a liquor product, if an individual's change of emotions are displayed in the facial expressions, what strong bond they might be having to the product. This thought ran across my mind. So coming back to the topic of the day, we often say social drinking. If you ask somebody who's drinking, I'm a social drinker, I'm okay, I am in control of my liquor. If I give a definition what social drinking is, it can be said having few standard drinks before a meal or at any social event. Most importantly, he or she will not continue to drink in spite of drinks being available. So what is a standard drink? The National Health and Medical Research Council has given the following standards for various alcoholic beverages. These are standard drinks. I will have it on display. So, if how much is too much? National Health and Medical Research Council has made the following recommendations for levels of drinking to help reduce the risk of alcohol-related harm over a person's life. For healthy men and women age 18 years and over, drinking no more than 2 standard drinks on any day reduces the lifetime risk of harm. I'm not the one who's saying, this is National Health and Research Foundation. Drinking no more than 4 standard drinks on a single occasion reduces the risk of alcohol-related injury arising from that occasion. These are standards given. For women who are pregnant, are planning a pregnancy, or are breastfeeding, not drinking is the safest option. These are theirs. So coming back to the main topic, alcoholism, what it is, what is it? Very early symptoms of harmful alcohol use. If someone you know, these are symptoms, early symptoms, have a strong urge to drink. As a daily routine, will drink long before dinner or with dinner. Drinks while alone or hide alcohol from the members of the family. These are symptoms to look for. Need to drink more over time to get the same level of intoxication or that good feeling, and he'll be talkative. Lie about how much they drink, will defend the habit with arguments. Get involved in arguments on simple matters. Otherwise, in normal life, they will not argue about the same thing because they are intoxicated. Organize social events where alcohol is going to be part of it so that they can drink. If you want to know more details about it, I am displaying a link for a website because it's not easy to present everything within a 30-minute talk. And now I'm going to get into alcoholism advanced symptoms. So far, I have dealt with early symptoms of alcoholism. Now, this is a person who is sort of an alcoholic. Domestic violence would be part of it. Neglect of physical appearance. drink early in the day or is anxious about when they will be able to drink. Pub crawling, forget what they said or did while they were drinking. Struggle with work, education, or relationships, or for no obvious reasons. Neglect of punctuality for work, appointments, and other household assignments. Feel physical effect like nausea, sweating, shakiness, and anxiety if they stop after a period of drinking. So these I have described early stages of alcoholism and symptoms and alcoholics' symptoms. Alcoholism and how it affects you. Jay, it slipped out. Excuse me. It's, shall I click back to the top?
You want to show this?
No, this is not part of it.
Oh, this is not part of it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, coming back to alcoholism and how it affects you. If you drink too much alcohol, you are at increased risk of illnesses such as heart diseases, liver diseases, cancer, diabetes, damages to the brain. Alcohol has a tendency to damage the brain cells. Full text of this publication is available on the following web page. The link is shown here. So I'm not going to get into details, I'm just giving this information. We do know that heavy drinking may have extensive, far-reaching effects on the brain, ranging from simple slips in memory to permanent and debilitating conditions that require lifetime custodial care. Even moderate drinking leads to short-term memory loss, as shown by extensive research on the impact of drinking on driving. However, number of factors influence how to what extent alcohol affects the brain. How much and how often a person drinks, the age at which the person, he or she, first began drinking, and how long he or she has been drinking. Number three, the person's age, gender, genetic background, and family history of alcoholism. Four, whether he or she is at risk as a result of prenatal alcohol exposure, his or her general health status. These are contributing factors. Although alcohol seems to make you feel good, alcohol can increase the risk of depression and anxiety. It is a key player on car accidents, family violence. I have extracted some information from 2016 to 2019, Australia-wide total traffic fatalities and alcohol-related information. It is around 28% to 29%. Actually, if you go to that site, you have more details of different types of analysis, motorcycle, all that, and how alcoholism has affected. Root cause of very high percentage of domestic violence is much known to be alcohol related. I'm going to read an article written by a famous son about domestic violence. There were so many nights when, as a young boy, had to watch helplessly as my father verbally and physically abused my mother. I can still recall the smell of alcohol, see the fear in my mother's eyes, and feel the hopelessness, despair that comes. When we see people we love hurting each other in an incomprehensible way, I would not wish that experience on anyone, especially not a child. If I dwell in those memories, I can feel myself wanting to hurt my father back in the same way he hurt my mother, and in ways of which I was incapable as a small boy. I see my mother's face, and I see this gentle human being whom I loved so very much and who did nothing to deserve the pain inflicted upon her. This was written by a famous man. The only way to experience healing and peace is to forgive. Until we can forgive, we remain locked in pain. These are done by Desmond Tutu. This is given in his book of forgiving. Desmond Tutu, I am sure all of you know, he was the Archbishop of Cape Town who led the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1984. I would like to move away from the general trend of things and give you a religious side of alcoholism. Alcoholism in any advanced stage will bring that person's mental decline and degeneration into such a bad level, his last thoughts at his death would only take him to the animal realm in his or her next life. This was clearly, very articulately given by a monk. The link is there, unfortunately. It's a Sri Lankan monk, and he gives it in Sinhala. Another story I can relate. When I was in Melbourne about 10 years ago, we had a handyman. He was an alcoholic, but he was a very nice person and a fantastic worker, this guy. So however much I spoke to him about alcoholism and other things, he said, look here, I have to start the day at least with a can of beer. That is his level was. So, but I was determined to help this guy. So what I did was, I went to the temple and spoke to the head monk and gave him the background of this guy. And he said, bring him over. So under the guise of work, I took him to the temple. So the priest spoke to him nicely and discussed work, all that. And all of a sudden he said, you smell of liquor. You drink? This guy very innocently accepted, and he said yes, and came out with the whole story of drinking and why he can't stop. The priest very bluntly said, look here, if you continue like this, after your death, you are sure to be born into the animal realm, or as a person, if you come back to the human realm, you might be incapacitated, you might be an autistic person, or that sort of fear. Believe me, he stopped drinking that day. That is how it impacted him. Why am I relating this story to you all? Just to show that these are true stories, that if you are convinced, you can do it. Long time ago, I was, that story I finish, I'll come to another story. Long time ago, I was passing through London for work, and a family member of mine who is from the medical profession gave me a book titled Wine in Moderation. So I read it. It says if you take a glass of wine every day, you can live longer. I was quite impressed at that time. And it was given to me by a doctor. So I started taking wine. Every day, a glass of wine at dinner time. I was doing it. I was impressed. I didn't like the taste of wine, to be very honest, right at the beginning. But I was looking forward to the benefits given by the book. So this went on for some time. Later on, back in Australia, my daughter came from the temple one day. And she said, "Daddy, the priest said you can have liquor, there's one way." So I asked, what did the priest say? He said, anyone can drink as long as you don't taste it or smell it. So that was an important moment for me. I recognized the hidden message behind that story. So I thought for myself, oh, I mustn't miss this opportunity. I knew if I announced that I'm going to stop now, I'll be doing it at her wish, and it is an achievement for her. Immediately I said, okay, from today, I'm not going to have any wine. So it is important for us to recognize, to be intelligent, to recognize these opportunities in life. I'm not talking about this, any other situation also. We must be alive to do this. So I know a friend of mine, a close friend of mine, he has 3 sons. He was drinking. He realized pointless talking to anybody about all this, and he stopped drinking altogether. So for his children, they can never start drinking because they know their father stopped drinking for them. So that's the type of Kalyana Mitras you should have. I mean, he kicked the habit out, and children cannot argue about it anymore. When we have young kids, what do? We will look for the best school in the area, possibly buy, rent or build a house close to the school so that we can send them to the good school. Further, we might arrange extracurricular activities, tuition, sports and various other things so that for their development. Also, we might select certain social groups as primary group so that our children will keep company with children of similar groups. All these things we do for the children, for their future. But unless we give them an example, we need to give them the example not only about these things, even the language we use, interpersonal skills, all that. But as we go along, you will be very happy to know with your effort and guidance, your child becomes a professional in his chosen field. But it would be disastrous, unhappy situation later on in life if you find your child has become an alcoholic because of your example. That's the area where we have to be careful. How to help alcoholics is the area that I am coming to, the next area. As a management member of the industrial organization, a manufacturing organization, we had cases of absenteeism, poor attendance, and various other shortcomings from a group of employees. So we did a study as to why these people are doing that. We ended up finding out to see that all of are alcohol related. So what we were looking for ways and means of helping them, then we came across Alcoholic Anonymous, a group that, a self-help group that help people. We persuaded, I couldn't remember the number, I think it was well over 14, 15 people. We persuaded them to join the Alcoholic Anonymous group. Not all of them, large percentage of them recovered and they came back to their normal life, which helped in their families. It's interesting to know how the technique they use. It's alcoholics getting together and they discuss how they became alcoholic, and the seniors who gave up alcoholism help them with their stories, how it could be done, how you can become sober. It's a very successful story, and only you have to attend these meetings regularly, and the seniors who have kicked the habit will encourage. They tell their own stories, how they became alcoholics, how they started drinking, and they come out with all these stories. Invariably, all these meetings are held in a church, discuss information and exchange. What is made in these meetings are confidential. They don't allow you to, they request people not to take it out. But we were close to this group, these 40 years ago. One or two people told us some stories that came out in the AA meetings. I was clearly told this is confidential, you should not take it out. Though I was not involved in it, because of the management input, I came to know about it in details. One doctor was an alcoholic, and he was trying hard to stop drinking. Ultimately, he ended up in this Alcoholic Anonymous group. So he has told this group, look here, his wife is also a doctor. Wife was trying very hard to stop him from drinking. When he returns from work, she will go through the car looking for bottles or any signs of drinking. And he said she couldn't find the way I drink. I used to hide my liquor in small bottles in the toilet cistern. So whenever I wanted to go have a drink, I used to go to the toilet, have a drink and come out. She didn't know. So all these were revealed at this Alcoholic Anonymous meeting. So somehow he stopped drinking. He came to this group and he stopped drinking. I'm relating this to make you aware of the psychology of an alcoholic. So he stopped. He became sober. The sad part is the wife got angry because she tried for years and years to stop this guy from drinking. He couldn't do. But he did it with the help of AA meetings. And they parted away from their marriage at the end of it. That's a sad side of the story. Then there was another guy who related this story. Whenever he wants to go out in the evening for a drink, he had no excuse. He said he was looking for ways and means of getting out of the house. He will see a flower vase neatly arranged by his wife. He will move it from where his wife has kept into an insignificant place. So the wife will come and start an argument with him. And when the argument starts, he has a fight and then he walks out to have the drink. This is the behavior of an alcoholic. I'm relating these two incidents. The psychology objective in mind is to have that drink. That is how much you have lost control of yourself. So Alcoholic Anonymous is worldwide. It started in 1935 by a guy who managed to remain sober for 6 months. Then he found, I should spread this, and with another person, he spread it. Alcoholic Anonymous AA is an international fellowship requiring no membership dues or fees, dedicated to helping alcoholics peer-to-peer. It's non-denominational. I'm sorry, I have to get my glasses. As a self-supporting and apolitical with desire to stop drinking, being its sole requirement for membership. Alcoholic Anonymous in Perth. I am giving you the web address and a 24-hour helpline. This is Alcoholic Anonymous in Perth. I believe I have come to the end of the presentation. I'm willing to answer any questions to the best of my ability.
The chat is quite lively, and there's a lot of comments, but not many direct questions. So if you have a question, then please post it, and we'll do our best to answer it. Well, it's not a direct question. But there is a there's some themes emerging which are quite interesting. So I'll just go over those. So there's a lot of chat around, oh, surely one drink in the evening's quite okay. And someone asks, does anyone know how periodic binge drinking affects someone? And does a recuperation period account for the damage done by the period of binge drinking? Well, I've posted the references to Health Direct. There's quite a lot written there around that. And someone else comments and says, I think besides the damage to the physical body, what it does to our karmic footprint is of much greater significance. And that to me is the biggest deterrent to drinking. Lasting damage in this lifetime is only as long as the physical body exists. Lasting impact to our consciousness is severe. You might want to make a comment on that.
I didn't get it.
Yeah. And then just in that theme, there's a bit in here around intergenerational trauma, which is an interesting area. So,
that's a comment
for this person, their father was an alcoholic and the effects are still ringing in them. They've been battling with PTSD, like post-traumatic stress disorder, and agoraphobia due to post-childhood trauma, abuse and neglect. And I guess they're looking towards, they're trying to find inner peace. So it's really, you know, in Australia we think that we're Australian. Of course it's okay to have a drink, but when you really start to look into the stats, I mean, we did mental health first aid training recently here at the Buddhist Society, and I was quite kind of surprised, but not surprised, to see that the number one drug of choice in Australia is alcohol. Now, we hear a lot about meth and various things, but it's alcohol that's doing the damage. Okay, we've got one question from the audience. I shall hand over the mic.
Yeah, actually, it's just one comment and a question. I suppose illicit drugs also fall into the same category, and everything you said applies to misuse of drugs as well.
I believe so. I'll make a counter comment on that. The medical profession, I'm not being critical of it, doctors lay more emphasis on drug abuse than alcoholism. I think alcoholism, I don't have statistics to show, to compare or to make comments. Definitely, drug abuse is there. But the statistics I showed are alcohol-related accidents. If you go to the website, you have, they have separated it into two areas.
Thank you. The comment is, it's well known, I mean, alcohol misuse can ruin your life, this life. But interesting to know, not only this life, your next life also could be
true,
ruined.
True, that's true. That's what this, I have got information from, that's a very senior monk in Sri Lanka. He emphatically mentions that there's no way out. If your thinking process is impaired by alcohol and the decline in your mental health will come along with, which will pave the way for the next birth.
Thank you.
A question about the mental health aspect. I believe that certain vitamins and supplements are missing in the alcoholics in their constitution, and that the right diet, that the right supplements, that the right medication can help enormously. That the alcohol, the craving is actually because these particular chemicals are missing in the person's in that person's makeup. Do they have doctors that are connected with Alcoholics Anonymous?
It was more a point around. There's a theory that some people who are suffering from alcohol addiction, they may also be suffering from other health issues like vitamin deficiencies and nutrient deficiencies. And the question was, are there doctors who are associated and available to help with things like Alcoholics Anonymous? There's some other points here on Alcoholics Anonymous, but we'll answer this one first.
We had a panel of doctors dealing in this. Whatever you want to do, anything, first they have to stop drinking. And then doctors can examine. In fact, doctors can prescribe some drugs, some medicine. They warn them, if you take this medicine and if you drink, you'll have a lot of more problems. So then, basically, many medical professionals I have come across, what they say is, try and get the guy out of liquor. Then we can do so many other things. So I'm not a research person. I have had, say, about 7 or 8 years experience with alcoholics in that company and the Alcoholic Anonymous, and one or two doctors we had who was helping us. So I really cannot give a detailed answer to your question, to be specific.
Thank you for your help, but I do understand that if the person starts eating properly and taking the right supplements, that helps them to not have the craving for alcohol, because there's something in their system that the alcoholic needs. They're actually, it's a illness, and you know, you treat illness with medication, and but particularly with supplements, that it has to happen while the person is is taking the alcohol, not waiting for them to stop drinking and then treat them. That has been my experience with friends that have got better. Thank you.
Just a comment. You mentioned wine drinking is supposedly good for you, but the stuff in wine that's good for you, you can also get from just plain grape juice.
I have a problem with my hearing aid. Can you tell me the question?
Bill, I didn't catch the last part. You're saying you can... drink grape juice.
Yeah, drink grape juice instead of wine and you get the same health-giving effects.
Okay.
Also, modern or non-alcoholic wine.
Okay, I'm quite aware that we'd like to do some meditation as well, but I'll just make a couple of quick points. A lot of people on the chat have pointed out that Alcoholics Anonymous is, you know, it came out of a Christian tradition. And basically, I think one person here makes a very good point to use the techniques rather than focus on the faith. I've also posted a link to a group called the Fifth Precept Sangha. It's very much embedded in Dharmic practices, but that might be something to have a look at. And the rest of the questions I'll just leave for now because I'd like to move to the meditation practice.
Okay, then we'll get on to meditation. Actually, we have gone past the time. Please close your eyes and make yourself as comfortable as possible and choose any avenue you would like to do, metta or any other avenue. Let us get to meditate. Oh. Yeah, I see. There are some comments here. No? time to. Just before you go, there are two questions I would like to answer. Let's come online. What did the Buddha say about the fifth precepts and why it exists? What Lord Buddha has said is very clear: to refrain from taking any intoxicants. For the simple reason, it does not prevent you to have a normal way of thinking. That's what that precept is about. The other one is, other question is, how do you help someone you love from stopping themselves, from harming themselves from excessive alcohol use? It's a difficult question. Is the person trying to harm him or himself after taking liquor or when he's sober? So that's a situation you have to take it to a medical professional to analyze it further. I won't be able to give a direct answer like that. And another comment made on the Alcoholic Anonymous, we should not try to attach any religious belief to Alcoholic Anonymous. They are doing a great job. I know I have had experience. They, of course, mention at one point to have faith in God. I questioned this from them. They said the answer given was faith in whatever the God you believe in. They're not talking about Christian or any other sect of religion, they say, because this was started long time ago. So it would have been from a religious organization, but the service they do, they never ask you to, they don't discuss religion at all in Alcoholic Anonymous. Their objective is to help, self-help, using the experience of other alcoholics who have kicked the habit and become sober. So I have no doubt about their motives and their expectations. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay.
I'll just add to that before we pay our respects. What's beautiful about this chat site is the way that people come together to help each other. And I think I'd hand it to I apologize if I'm not pronouncing this properly, Smitha Tenzin. I guess what can help is having a buddy to help along the way. That really ties into that notion of Kalyana Mitta, the spiritual friends. And another person says that he finds keeping up to date with his practice, his meditation, and living a healthy, compassionate lifestyle has been the key to success. So I thought that was quite a beautiful note to end on.
Yeah.
And before we pay our respects, yep. I'd like to thank you.
No problem. For thank you very
being
much.
Quite courageous with what is a very important topic. Like it's one that, you know, we all like to shy away from, but it's, you know, it's real, it's raw, it's out there.
I apologize, I have had problems with my hearing aid. I couldn't understand some of the questions. Really, I apologize for that.
I tell you what, I know that there are treats on the table in the kitchen and the kettle would have been boiled. So I'd like to invite everyone to come to the kitchen and join us and we can continue the conversation there. Ron is racing for the kettle right now.
Thank you.
We can get away from the microphone and your hearing aid will be a bit happier. Okay. Oh, and next week's talk, would be Drew Bellamy. He is continuing on the path of the Noble Eightfold Path, and he will be talking on right effort. So enjoy that. And some of us are going on retreat next week. Talk will still be on next week with Drew. Then we'll all be back. Okay, see you later.